been looking at the world system, and we're going to have a few more messages for you. One of the things, when we consider the world system as one of our three spiritual enemies, is that it's a subtle enemy. And today we're going to touch on some of the reasons it can be subtle. There's a lot of things when it comes to the world system that we want to be aware of. One of the things that we've been pointing out is, you know, prior to our initial salvation, we had a life here on earth where we were essentially dead to God. But because of salvation by grace, we have a new potential. But the world system prefers you to operate like you aren't saved, like you don't have a new potential. The world system prefers you to operate out from the flesh and living a life independent from God. Now, the Christian, we know, and we've touched on this the past few weeks, is a stranger and a sojourner who's just passing here on earth. Our citizenship is in the heavens. And so when you think of that we're strangers and pilgrims, we're just passing through. In other words, we're temporary residents here. And that's something to keep important when you think about the world system. The world system would have you think otherwise. We're temporary residents here. And so for the Christian that is here on earth, we're in the world, and so we're in the world system, but we're not out from it. We're not out from it as the source, and we don't belong to it. And so let's open with a word of prayer, and I'm going to just we're going to go to a number of places looking at this. But we're going to, one of the subtleties of the world system, when you think of it as a spiritual enemy, is that we actually use the world system, but we're not to abuse it or use it to its full. And so that's where the subtlety comes in, because we're to use something, but we're not to use it to the full. It's real simple when we're talking about the sin nature of the flesh, right? Once we understand the works of the flesh, we don't ever want that to be the source of our actions or what we're doing, no matter how it looks. And so that's pretty cut and dry. When it comes to Satan, we want to resist his darts, his thoughts that try to affect the conclusions of our mind. So we're standing against and resisting when it comes to the attacks from Satan. Now the world system, though, we actually use the world system, but we're not to use it to its full. And so that gets to be a little tricky. There's a fine line there, because that can be individual. There's some things that are okay in the world to do. Doesn't mean it's going to be profitable, or a lot of it can depend upon what somebody's attitude is about that thing. So something might be fine for one person to do, but it's not going to be okay for another because of their attitude, how they've allowed it to become something that they're completely occupied with. So we're going to touch on some of these things today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. We're grateful for the day. We're thankful for the opportunities that we've had in Sunday school, in the morning service, and now at this hour to be in your word. We're grateful for the opportunities to be with other Christians and to share with one another. And we pray your spirit would guide and direct, and may this time be used to your glory. We would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so our citizenship is in the heavens. We're temporary residents as Christians here on this earth. If we go back into the Gospel of John, I'm just going to bring to mind a couple things. In chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, in the Lord's communication with the Father, in verse 14, he says, I have given them, talking about the 11 here, the disciples, I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they are not out from the world. And so the word of is the ek preposition in the Greek. It's just they are not out from the world. And he says, even as I am not out from the world. And so he was a sojourner, if you will. Yeah, he was just passing through, had temporary residence here on earth. Now you see in verse 15, he says, I pray, the King James, that's our word for ask as an equal. He's talking to the Father. I ask not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them just out from the evil one. And I would translate that the malignant evil one. It's looking at the person. So I'm in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And we just read verse 14 and 15. Now he comes back to, in reference to the disciples in verse 16. And he says, they are not out from the world, even as I am not out from the world. And so, as Christians, we're in the world, but we're not out from it. We don't belong to it. You can see a reference to this further back in the Gospel of John in chapter 15, of course, in verse 18. Here he's anticipating believers being able to fulfill the new commandment. And you see that in John 15:17. He mentions the new commandment. In verse 18, he says, if the world hates you, you know, and so you experientially know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were out from the world, and so he says, which you are not, but the world would be fond of its own. The word love there is actually a word for fondness. And so here it says, the world would be fond of its own. But because you are not out from the world, but rather, strong contrast, but rather I have chosen you out from the world, therefore the world hates you. And this word for hate is the idea of detesting, a silent hatred, just a not caring about, just kind of a detesting. And so we are in it, but we're not out from it. We don't belong to it. But here on earth, all around the Christian lies the world system. And this world system has been laid down by the malignant evil one. So he's laid it down. He's the ruler of it. And if we're on earth, we are in it. And so that's important to keep in mind, because a lot of people think they're trying to separate from the world system. Well, guess what? You would have to leave the planet to get away from the world system right now. And so you're in it, but you don't belong to it. And so while we're in it, though, because of the provisions of grace, we're not subject to it. We're not in bondage to the world system. Positionally, we've been separated from the world system. And so that's important. We were separated from the world system at initial salvation. And so it no longer holds us in bondage and provides the standards by which we should be living our lives. So you can see this. Let's just go over to Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 14. Galatians 6:14. And Paul just says, but may it never be that I should glory. The word glory there is boast. That I should boast. He's talking about in himself, in the flesh. And he says, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the one area that Paul is willing to boast, is in the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here he brings up the fact that there's been separation through his death and our sharing in his death. And so he says, except in the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not by whom, but it's through whom. Through whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And so this crucifixion emphasizes death by crucifixion. This goes right back to his cross work. And so we're no longer in bondage to the world system. We're no longer, if you will, we can be voluntarily, but we're no longer under the thumb of the ruler of the world system. Now, the subtlety, as I mentioned, of the world system as a spiritual enemy, it lies in the truth that the Christians here on earth, we must use the world system. But we shouldn't abuse it. And so we're in it and we use it, but we don't belong to it and we shouldn't use it to its full. And so that's where the subtlety line is. So there's a fine line, and that fine line can become blurred, and it can easily become blurred, that line between using and abusing. If the saint isn't paying careful attention to his or her relationship to the persons of the Godhead. And so I chose that wording carefully because you, as a saint, you have a relationship to all three persons of the Godhead. And if you're not paying careful attention to your relationship to the persons of the Godhead, while also being aware of the subtleties of the world system, you can blur that line between using and abusing. And so this is kind of what I want to talk about a little bit today. And so it's difficult to define what is the right use of the world system. Because the world system is geared for individuals to operate independently from the one true God and to opt independently from God's desirous will. That's what the world system is geared towards. It wants you to live like you lived prior to your salvation, when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, you were dead to God. That's where the world system would prefer you to walk according to the age of this world, according to the prince of the authority of the air. Now, we do know from Scripture that friendship with reference to the world system, it's referred to as spiritual adultery and hostility towards God. Let's just be reminded of that. Let's go to James Let's go to James chapter 4 and verse 4. So James, right after Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 4, James says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses." Now he's talking about spiritual adultery here. He says, "Know you not?" And the word "know" is the Greek word oida. This is a, Dale's been covering this. This is the idea of intellectual or factual knowledge. "Know you not that the friendship," the phila, the fondness, "the friendship of the world," the world system, "is enmity with God," hostility against God. Then he says, "Wherefore," or just "therefore, whoever," just "will be a friend of the world," and the word "will" in the English is the idea of determined. Just whoever determines or resolves to be a friend of the world, he constitutes himself. We're going to translate it that way, and you can see in your interlinear, he constitutes himself an enemy of God. And so he begins to allow the world to do some things in relationship to his spiritual life. When I think about the world system and things that it wants to do to the Christian, and I'll probably come back to this. I have it written in my notes, but it comes to mind now, so I'll just share it now. But it wants to supersede. It wants to dominate, and it wants to substitute. It wants to supersede anything in the place of God. It wants to dominate your thinking and your frame of mind. And it wants to substitute its wisdom for God's wisdom. And so when you think about the world system, be aware that it's not your friend. It's an influence that ultimately can lead for the Christian independence from God. Now, keep in mind that the world system includes aspects of culture, human government, commerce, education, music, entertainment, warfare, urbanization. I mean, all of these things are a part of the world system. And the world system has its own wisdom. And so wisdom is knowledge of how to act, to pursue a course of action. And see, the world system wisdom would have you pursue a course of action or act independently from God. Let's just be reminded about the wisdom from God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll pick up in verse 19. 1 Corinthians 3:19. And so here Paul just says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness." It's interesting. Takes the wise in their own craftiness. Now, I'm going to finish reading that, but just something that comes to mind. And The world system, if you allow the world system to completely occupy you, and I have to think about this a little more, but it's going to turn you into a diva. And I didn't make that to be a sexist comment, but the way diva is used now, not as just as far as a female opera singer, but in the sense of somebody who's temperamental and has a an inflated view of themselves and of their own importance, kind of a me first attitude. World system supports that. So as we go on, we'll see. And so coming back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 and verse 20, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise that they are vain. And the word vain in the Greek, it has the idea that they're useless, they're worthless. He says, therefore, let no man not glory in men, but boast in men. The world system is geared to show what man can do. It's not about cooperating with God so we can see what God can do. And so Paul says, therefore, let no man though boast in men, for all things are yours. And he goes on. So, but the world system has its own wisdom, and its wisdom provides you with a template of how to act, how to pursue a course of action in all of these different areas. And we listed, you know, culture, government, commerce, education, urbanization, entertainments, all of these areas. And so the world system, it provides ever-changing standards of how to walk. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, and we'll pick up in verse 6. And here Paul says, as you have received Jesus Christ as the Lord, you know, as the divine master, the head of the body, the one that as Christians we should be trying to please. He says, so walk ye in him. Go about your life in him, in your position in him. He says, having been rooted and being built up in him and being established by the faith, as you have been taught, there's some things to learn, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's grace. That's supernatural. And then in verse 8, you get to the warning. Beware, lest any man spoil you. The idea of spoil is to carry you off, or take you captive, or carry you off as booty, or take you captive through philosophy. That's a fondness of wisdom. And vain deceit. And the word vain here is our Greek word empty. Empty deceit. And this being taken captive through philosophy and empty deceit, so he says, after, or just measured by the tradition of men, measured by the rudiments of the world, the ABCs of the world, of how to walk, how to follow basic rules, how to go about the things of your life. And he says, and not measured by Christ. See, the risen and glorified One, he doesn't come into the equation with these standards, the tradition of men and the ABCs or the rudiments of the world system. And so if that's the case, you don't need the crosswork to do these standards, to keep these standards from the world system. The crosswork is completely minimized. And so the crosswork becomes for the Christian involved in ordering their lives in these areas, the value of the crosswork is minimized in present tense. And what a shame that is. Because the provisions of grace make it possible for us to enjoy incredible benefits in present tense. Now, we're going to be going into 1 Corinthians chapter 7 today, because we have a reference to the world system, and we find the word use along with the word abusing, or the idea of using to the full. And you see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 31. And so this is the verse that tells us that we are to use, that we use the world system, but we're not to abuse it. And so in 1 Corinthians 7:31, this reads, "And they that use this world, not as abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away," is passing away. And so let's just consider a couple of things about this. The translation, by the way, the word use, they that are just using the world system. That's a good translation, use. It comes from a Greek word that means to make use of, to employ, kind of in the idea of employ. We can see this word used over in 1 Timothy 5:23, where Paul tells Timothy to use a little wine. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5:23 and take a look at this. And so Paul says here to Timothy, who apparently had a GI issue, and he says, drink no longer water, but use, that's our word, use. Use a little wine, employ a little wine, is what he's saying, for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. And so his weaknesses. So he had some stomach issues and he has some weaknesses. And so Paul here, let me just make this clear, this is not a solicitation to evil. He's not suggesting that Timothy abuse wine, that he drink it to the point of drunkenness, a work of the flesh, but he is saying to use it. And you see there's a purpose involved. There's a purpose involved here. And so this word to use a little wine on account of your stomach. There's an end result in mind. There's a purpose. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'll illustrate this word one other time. In verse 21, in 1 Corinthians 7:21. We have this word used also to make use of, to employ. He says, are you called being a servant, a slave? Care not for it. So don't have a concern about it. But if you mayest be made free, use it rather. And so use your freedom. And in the context, it's to use it to serve the Lord. And so this is going to be a context we're going to come back to after I work this verse a little more. So there you see, it's to use, to employ, use it for a purpose. And so here he's saying, if you become free, we'll use that freedom to serve the Lord. Now, we'll come back and you'll see that wherever you are, whatever station in life you are, you can serve the Lord. But I'm just using it here to illustrate that word use. And so in our verse that we're pivoting off of today in verse 31, he says, and those who are using this world. And so there's this use of this world for a purpose. And then he says, as not abusing it. That's the King James. And so this word for abusing now, and so we're to use the world system, but not to abuse it. I want to talk briefly about this word that they translated abuse, though. Because it's the same root. It's the same word that he translated use, but it has a kata prefix. So it's a compound word. So this word, it's intensified. So he says, use, but don't use thoroughly. You know, as, you know, those that are using, but not using it to the full. So you kind of miss that in the English translation, because I see the New King James says, to those who use this world as not misusing. I see the New American Standard says, use the world as though they did not make full use of it. And so that's not too bad. It has the idea of thoroughly using or making full use of. King James, of course, translates this compound word abusing it, not abusing it. The American Standard Version, I actually like their translator. He says, as not using it to the full. So you have those that use the world as not using it to the full. That's kind of the idea here of this little play with this word and then the same word in compound, which intensifies it. And so the word translated not abusing just literally means to be making or not making full use of it. Not making full use of it. To not use it to the uttermost. Another way you could understand it is to not be fully occupied with it. Now remember, I kind of like that concept, to not be completely fully occupied with it. Because the world system, it wants to supersede, as a Christian, it wants to supersede with something your relationship to the persons of the Godhead. It wants to dominate your thinking and your frame of mind, and it wants to substitute its wisdom for God's wisdom. A lot of times that's going to be in the form of pragmatism. What's practical? So you don't need, with world system wisdom, you don't need your relationship with God, because the world system has the answers for you of what you need to do in this situation, in this environment. And so with that in mind, and then he goes on, he says, for the form of this world is passing away. Just the King James, the fashion, it's kind of the outward appearance, is passing away. Kind of has the idea of it's temporary. This environment is temporary. This stage that is set that we're allowed to be in, the so-called world system, it's passing away. Now, I want to go back after just showing you those two words. I want to back up, and we're just going to survey through a little bit in this context right up to the verse we just went over. And so I want to go back and just pick up so you can see this in its larger context of what Paul's doing. Because this whole context is about serving the Lord and pleasing the Lord. And so when we consider the difference between using the world system and abusing the world system or being completely occupied with it, is we're going to relate that to serving the Lord and pleasing the Lord. See, because nothing should supersede your relationship to God, to the persons of the Godhead. As soon as anything from the world system does that, you are misusing it. You are abusing the world system. So let's go back in the context and take a look. And so let's pick up and we'll just go back to verse 21. And so we read this verse. Are you called being a slave? Care not for it, but if you mayest be made free, use it rather. And so use it for a purpose, an end result. And so he's in verse 22. We see he's going to explain. He says, for he that is called in the Lord, being a slave is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant or bondslave. So in other words, whatever your station in life is, make use of where you are and what you have to serve the Lord and ultimately to please Him. That's the end, that's the purpose in mind. And that's going to be how we need to look at the world system and the use of it. And so he goes on in verse 23 and he says, you are bought with a price. I would just bring to memory here that you are bought with a price. It's an aorist passive indicative verb. You were bought. Somebody in the passive. So it's looking at something that happened at a point of time, and the passive indicates that somebody else did the purchasing. You didn't pay your own way, in other words, this passive. You were bought with a price. And so, and we know that's looking at the cross work. And so you were bought with a price. Be ye the servants or just the bond slaves of men. Now this isn't this concept he's already touched on in the previous chapter. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 20. Because he uses the same phrase here. For you are bought with a price. And so let's read verse 19 so we can get the context. It says, what know you not that your body is not the temple, but a quality of a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own. And then he says in verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God by your body and by your spirit, which are God's. And so, glorify God. Now, the world system has a different set of ideals, which would have you glorify yourself and to serve yourself first. And then after you serve yourself, maybe you can serve others or you can serve God. But what does scripture say? Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. You want to get down to just some of the basics? It says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's going to be a stark contrast to world system wisdom. Now, coming back into our 1 Corinthians chapter 7 context. So you are bought with a price. Don't become the bondslaves of men. And then in verse 24, he says, brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now the word abide has, this is our word for to remain at ease, to be at ease, to remain settled. And the word with God, it's the Greek preposition, para. And so just to let every man wherein he is called, therein, just let him remain at ease. Let him remain settled alongside God. So this alongside God, I believe there's positional truth found in this verse. Remain settled alongside God. He's talking about, he could have said it a little differently, but he's talking about in your position in Christ. That's where you're alongside of God. Now, it is Aunt Arthur's there, but I tend to understand this as positional. Now, Paul here is going to give his opinion, which happens to be something that he's doing as he's borne along by the Holy Spirit. And so he says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of or from the Lord. So he doesn't, this isn't coming as a direct quote from the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And so in verse 26, he says, I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. The idea of distress has the idea of necessities or hardships. And then he says, I say that it is good for a man so to be. Are you bond unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. And so I think what he's saying here is wherever you're at, you can serve the Lord. You can please the Lord. You don't need to change your standing, your status. Now, he goes on and in verse 28, he says, but, and if you marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. And the word trouble is our word for tribulation. And it's Aunt Arthur. So have a quality of tribulation, or we could just look at this as pressure. There'll be a quality of pressure in the flesh. He says, but I spare you. And I would take this as a tendential. He says, I spare you. He says, I'm trying to spare you. He's trying to save them from potential pressure. And verse 29, he says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. And so, The word time is our word for season in the Greek. The season is short, and it's a perfect passive participle. He's saying that the season has been short with the abiding result that it is short. And so the season is short. It's temporary. It's a season, and it's been shortened. He says, King James reads it, remaineth, in the Greek we just say for the rest. He says for the rest, they both that have wives be as though they had none. Now, let me just first say what it's not saying. It's not saying that because the season has been shortened that men could neglect their responsibilities as a husband. What he's suggesting here, and you'll see it, he's suggesting as the time is short, don't let anything supersede your service to the Lord. And so when he's saying that both they that have wives as though they had none, Paul's trying to save them from anything that might hinder their service to the Lord. And so relationships can potentially do that. Now, I would say this for Christian husbands. Your right relationship to your wife as a Christian will largely be reflected by your right relationship to the Lord. Let me flip that around for the other gender. Ladies, your right relationship to your husband will ultimately be a reflection of your right relationship to the Lord. And so in Christian marriage, for each partner, the Lord should be primary. And that allows us to be what God intends us to be with relationship to one another in the marriage. So he's not saying here that because the time has been shortened that the wife should be neglected. He's saying in view of service to the Lord, as though he didn't have a wife. And then there's no hindrance here into serving the Lord. And so now you're going to see this as he carries it forward, because now he's going to move on, not only from the relationship, now he's going to move on to some emotions that come from circumstances. And these are temporary also. And so we can go through some difficult things in life. We can go through some great things in life. We don't want to make them, whatever they are, the end all. And so that's what he's emphasizing. And so in verse 30, he says, and they that weep, as though they wept not. And so as though they did not weep. And so he's not saying weeping is a negative thing, but he's saying don't make it the end all. It's temporary. Whatever it is that's causing the grief, that's causing the weeping, don't make it the end all, because the time has been shortened. And so they that weep as though they did not weep. And then he says, they that rejoice as though they did not rejoice. You know, don't make that the end all. And of course, now we get one to where the world system can fit in really well. It says, and they that buy as though they possessed not. So, you know, we came into this world with nothing, and we certainly are going to leave taking nothing. And so they that buy, so we do buy. We do weep, we do reduce, we do buy. But we're to buy as though we did not possess. It's a temporary thing. I'll say this, even those who buy a house and you buy you have a conventional loan, you know, to get a house. 15, 30 year conventional loan. At the end of that time period when you make the last payment and you feel like you're taking possession of it, you're really not. Because this isn't our home. We're just passing through. Our citizenship is in the heavens. On top of that, you have property taxes. And so I know from experience in Missoula, we had a lot of retired people on fixed incomes that actually owned their houses outright in a certain area in Missoula. But the house prices were skyrocketing. They were just going crazy. And the property taxes were going up as a result. And those folks that were on fixed income and thought that they possessed their home were taxed out of their homes. And so all of these seniors were selling their homes because they didn't have to pay any more house payments. But the taxes were increasing so much that they were paying more than they had been paying for their house payments, just in taxes. And so when he says, and they that buy as though they possess not, that they're not grasping or taking a hold of it, like this is the end thing. Now he comes to our verse that we covered in regarding the world system, talking about using it for a purpose, but not using it to the full. He says, and they that use this world, and so the idea is to use for a purpose. And he says, not as abusing it, not using it to its full, not to use it to the uttermost, or not being fully occupied with it. Now, the world system has a lot of different areas, and I've said this many times, is the world system has something for everyone. And you can become completely occupied with it. Whether it's possessing something. This is where the world system can be subtle. Because if you're buying something and you're making it the end all to grasp and to possess it, it's just a temporary thing. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a book. It could be a boat. It could be a house. It's all the same. It's just stuff that you're temporarily have access to, and it's okay to have them, but it could be to the point where you use it to the full, where it becomes the end focus, where you're completely occupied with it. It's dominating your thinking. It's dominating your frame of mind. Now, your present tense salvation is suffering as a result in your relationship to the persons of the Godhead. And so this is not abusing or using to the full the world system. And he says, for the fashion, the outward appearance of this world is passing away. Uses that same clause back in 1 John 2:17. I'm going to turn there because he has a contrasting thing about the one doing the will of God in that verse in 1 John 2:17. And the world is passing away. It's like a scene in a play or a movie, and it's passing away. It's transitionary. And the world system, it's passing away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth, just is doing the will of God, he is remaining at ease. The word abideth has the idea to remain at ease, to remain settled. He remains settled into the age. He remains at ease into the age, the one that's doing the will of God. So you see all of these little subtle things on the fringes of these verses dealing with the world system, how it can interrupt the Christian's focus on the will of God. It can interrupt the Christian's focus on serving the Lord. It can interrupt the Christian's focus on doing what's pleasing to the Lord. Going back into chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, I'm just going to pick up, I'll just read through these next two verses here. And so in 1 Corinthians 7:32, Paul says, "And I would have you without carefulness." That's the King James. He says, I desire you to be without cares or concerns. He desires them to be without cares or concerns that would hinder them from serving the Lord. He doesn't want there to be anything that's hindering their service to the Lord. And so that's what he's emphasizing. He says, he that is unmarried, he cares for the things concerning the Lord. So there's no hindrance. How he may please the Lord. And so that's really where we want our present tense salvation to be. We want to be living a life that's in tune with our relationship to the persons of the Godhead. We want to be doing the will of God. We want to be pleasing him. Now, remember, we talked about the world system. World system wants to encourage you to try and do things by the flesh, to do things independently from God. Let's be reminded what Romans chapter 8 says in verse 8. I'll read 8:7 too. So in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, he says, "Wherefore the carnal mind," or I would translate this, "the result of a frame of mind from the flesh is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Then he says in verse 8, "So then, they that are being in the sphere of the flesh," and I understand this to be in the sphere of authority of the flesh, so it could be a carnal Christian or an unsaved person, "they that are in the sphere of the authority of the flesh, they cannot please God." It's impossible. Now, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll come across this word for walk again. And so here in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, Paul says, "Furthermore then, we beseech you, we ask you, brethren, and exhort you," and I would translate it "in," not "by," but "in the Lord Jesus." So it brings in position to mind. That as you have received from alongside of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. And so in order that you would may abound more and more. And so this has to do with how they learned how they ought to walk. And it's not by the flesh. It's in our position in Christ where we can be free from serving the flesh. And so let's just finish up here. Just going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And And so what Paul has been emphasizing in this context is he desires all Christians to be free from those things that would hinder their service to the Lord. And the world system offers opportunities to not just use it, but to use it to the full, to become completely occupied with things, whether it's possessions or if it's something in politics or if it's something in entertainment. Any of these things can rise to the point where it supersedes the relationship that the Christian can have with the persons of the Godhead. And when any of those things, this is why it's subtle, it can be anything. When any of those things do that, that's using the world system to the full. That's abusing it. That's misusing it. And so we can use it, but it's to an end. It's to a purpose, to serve God, to please God, to do all to the glory of God. And so it's interesting when we think about that, when we start trying to define the right use of the world system and what misusing it or using it to the full could look like, because it can really be individual. It can be a many, many things. I might come back next week and try and bring in just some of the other things that we've covered over the past months in relating this to using the world system to its full. But we'll end here. Father, we do thank you for this day. We're thankful for the privileges that we have in Christ. We're thankful for your word and the opportunities to relate to it and to relate to one another. And may we be those that are encouraging one another to have a more accurate walk in the provisions of grace and to do all those things that are glorifying to you. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.